Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Just really glad to be here again this morning. James, did you ever consider how much we need Christ the cornerstone? How much we depend on that? Sometimes we don't give it a lot of thought. How much we need the truth of Christ in our lives. And this morning I'm continuing in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23, and I've entitled my message, Being Vigilant in an Upside Down World. This passage talks about false prophets and false disciples, true and false disciples. And, you know, the Lord always seems to give me an illustration the week of, at least the last couple anyhow. Last week, I was hunting, and there was a flood, and I was talking about the narrow and the broad way and how beautiful the narrow way was. And the flood that came through that narrow way prevented me from hunting at my favorite spot. Well, this week God had another plan to give me an illustration. I have this wonderful Chevy pickup. It's a 2002. It's getting a little rusty, but it's a good pickup. Doesn't give me any grief at all. So you can imagine my surprise when I pull into Chick-fil-A in Lancaster on my way up to New York. And I'm going through the drive-thru and I hit my brake and it went into the floor. That's going to be an issue to drive the whole way to New York without brakes. So I drove up the road to Midas up at Easttown Mall and pulled into the garage there and said, oh, we got time to look at it. So he put it up on the lift, and I had a brake line that was broke, and all my brake fluid had come out. We're like, should we go home and get the van, or what should we do here? I said, no, we'll take a look at it. And within an hour, I was on my way, ready to go to New York again. So we're going up, and we get up to around Liberty, around Sebring, and all of a sudden, my gauges, again, this is a wonderful pickup I'm talking about here. It doesn't give me grief at all. My gauges go, woof, everything shuts down to nothing. But I'm still able to drive. I'm going cruising along 75 mile an hour. That's only 5 mile an hour of the speed limit up there. They just changed that speed limit up there. So I'm going 75, and I'm thinking, man, this isn't good. I don't have anything. I don't have windshield wipers. I don't have lights. I don't have four ways. I don't have anything. So I'm thinking, the further I get, the people up in New York could come pick me up and take me up. The plan was to go hunting that evening. We had off from school, left at 11:30. Well, those plans are rapidly going away. So I'm driving, and I'm about 4 miles from Mansfield, and all of a sudden I just don't even have power anymore. I push the gas, there's nothing. Let off, push a little bit, give a little bit. So I pull over into the berm, and I'm going about 30 mile an hour toward Mansfield. You get to the top of the hill, and it's about a mile and a half downhill to Mansfield. I put it in neutral, and we just were coasting down the road. And I got to the exit, and I just had a little bit of power. I'm coasting down the exit, and there's an Exxon station ahead of me, so I pull into there, no garage. And I'm like, man, we got to get somewhere fast. I mean, the engine is barely running at this point. And see a Munro muffler up the road, and took the truck, got into the parking lot at Munro Muffler, put it in park, stepped out, and it shut off. Couldn't start it again. So the guy said, well, we don't have nothing to do right now. We'll figure out what's going on. So they put it up, or they took it in, opened the hood, and it was my alternator. Now, the lesson that I want to get out of this is my truck, I mean, I think it looks okay yet. Yeah, it's got a little rust over the fender and things like that, but it works for me. And but inside that truck, there was a lot of stuff going on that didn't promote it being a truck. I'm telling you, when I was going down the exit, it didn't feel much like a truck anymore. It still looked like a truck, but it didn't feel like a truck. You know, as a church, I think sometimes we've done this thing for so long, it's like a good old Chevy. And it just seems to be going along, everything's good. But what happens is we tend to lose sight of what truth is. And maybe it's a brake line, or maybe it's your personal commitment to Christ, or maybe it's just that you've grown lukewarm to what the gospel really is. I learned pretty quick how important an alternator was. Not that I didn't know already, but I learned it really quick. And you know, as we were sitting there, we were just thanking God that we were able to get off the exit and get to a garage. And within an hour, my truck was fixed. So a four-hour trip became a six-hour trip and no hunting that evening. Now, maybe I'm drawing the wrong analogy from these illustrations. Maybe the Lord just doesn't want me to go hunting in New York. It could be that. You know, today, the world in which we live has many competing voices in it. There's lots of stuff around. There's lots of brake lines. There's lots of bad alternators. There's many competing voices to truth. Pilate asked this question at Jesus' trial. He said, "What is truth?" That really sounds like a postmodern question 2,000 years ago. It's what people ask. Well, what is truth? You know, postmodernism questions everything in society, from church to social order to family, whatever that is, it questions. The question of truth is a question that many say is relative. Can you guys tell me what the opposite of truth is? Just call it out. What is the opposite of truth? Untruth? Give me another word that means pretty much the same thing. A lie. The opposite of truth is a lie. Can you guys tell me what Jesus' purpose for coming to this earth was? Just call it out again. What was Jesus' purpose for coming to this earth? The Christ that we were singing about, the cornerstone, what was his purpose? Okay, we'll go here first. To seek and save the lost. Now, that's a great answer. It's something that when I think about in my life, that means a lot to me. But in Jesus' own words, that wasn't the reason he gave. Someone over here was saying something. To glorify his Father. What he did as a son was incredible. But again, I don't think that's the true answer he came for. To destroy the works of the devil. That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. These are really good answers. And I think they all have a lot of truth, and they were all a purpose of him. But I want you to look at something I never saw before in the Bible. Turn with me to John 18, verse 35. I'm having a fairly long introduction here, but I think it plays into what I want to speak about this morning. John 18, 35. Jesus is on trial here. And in verse 35, Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my fathers would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born..." Listen up. Here's the reason. "The reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth." See, that really encompasses what you were saying, Irvin. Just say it again one more time, what you said. To destroy the works of the devil. What is the devil? He's the father of
lies.
Testify to the truth. When Dad says to seek and to save that which is lost, when you're lost and you're found, you finally gave in to the truth of Christ. So to testify to the truth, this is a big deal. It gave me a new perspective of how valuable the truth of Christ is and how messed up our world can become when truth is relative. Just one more quick example, and then I'll get into Matthew chapter 7, verse 15-23. You know, and how many of you watched any presidential debate this year? All three of them? Well, there's a little problem with truth. I don't know what side it is. I have my suspicions, but I don't know what side it is. But there's a problem with truth, okay? The one person on the one side will be saying something about the other one, and the other person will be going, wrong. So what is truth? Let's look at Matthew. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. It says this: Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell him plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This has always been a really sobering verse for me. Really sobering. Because I don't think he's talking about non-Christians. This sermon was preached to those that would hear him. So, this could be a depressing, heavy message. And I don't want you to feel condemned, but I do want you to start thinking about what it means to follow Christ, what it means to discern what is truth and what is not true, or discern what a false prophet is. My first point this morning is watch out for false prophets. And I have an overhead here of four verses that I'd like to read to you this morning. First one is found in Romans 1:18. Says this: the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth with their wickedness. Now, as you think about that verse, is that happening today? Is the truth being suppressed? I wish you could see what's happening in education. Maybe you know already. But the truth is being suppressed big time, whether it's in our public elementary schools, whether it's in our high schools, whether it's in our colleges, it is being suppressed beyond what you even can imagine right now. How can kids be coming out of our schools? And Kelsey, I'll just use an example from, she's in college right now. She has a class where socialism is being taught as the right thing. Communism is okay. I can't even fathom that in 1988, when I was a senior in high school, communism was evil. But now it's being embraced as truth. The truth is being suppressed. Acts 20, verse 30. Even from your number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples to themselves. Is this happening? I think in many ways it is. You know, I really feel that the church has distorted the truth of God and replaced it with a lie in many areas. Whether it's a health and wealth type of gospel where God prospers you, or maybe it's as simple as embracing what we know is sin. Romans 2:8 says, "For those that are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." Are people self-seeking today? Are they rejecting the truth like never before? Absolutely. There's people rejecting the truth of Christ in ways that we have never seen in America. It is hard, if you're in a public setting, to share your faith because of what the government might do. And we talked about the persecuted church. I thank God for people that are willing to stick their neck out and to share the gospel with others. They're not self-seeking. They're not seeking the things that only enhance themselves. It is really easy to be self-seeking. I will say that. To seek things that that are good for me. Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. It's happening all over this country. The truth of God, they exchanged it for a lie, and they worshiped created things rather than the Creator. I see this as a huge issue in our society. In my life, personally, I see it as a huge issue. I live a pretty comfortable life, and I can easily get caught in success as being a substitute for that chief cornerstone I was talking about earlier. The next part of my message, I want to look at truth and the power of it. So the next overhead is going to be verses that talk about the truth and how we can discern between what is true and what is not. There's a bunch of verses in John, and I encourage you to write these verses down and then go home and study around the verses, because I don't have time to put everything into context here, but there's amazing verses around these verses that are great to study about truth. You know, when revival happens, it happens, number one, through prayer, and number two is to study the Word of God. The revival that happened in the Reformation came out of people hungry to read the Word of God when they hadn't read it for a long time. We have Bibles, but we don't use them enough. So the first one, in John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses." And that's truth. The law is truth. You know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. We know that's truth. We understand that's truth because there's consequences for it. Nobody, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, would accept having something stolen from them. Okay? It's a law, it's truth. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." I want you to focus as we read through these verses on truth. There's a battle going on here. The battle is between truth and a lie. And it's real. And Satan wants nothing more to sugarcoat something, to make it look appealing, and to make it look like truth. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. John 17:17, sanctify them by truth. That word sanctify means to change, just to clean house. Have you ever been sanctified by truth? When I came to Christ, Jesus took what was a lie. I believed all kinds of lies about myself. And he sanctified them and just totally changed my whole thought pattern by truth. Sanctify them by truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? Are you getting a picture of how you discern truth? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not enough to worship Jesus like this and disobey him when you leave. It says in spirit and in truth. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love that verse. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How are we learning the truth here? It's by setting our gaze upon the face of God and understanding what he wants from each one of us. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give me another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Don't get mad at the world. They can't even recognize what is truth apart from Christ. John 16:17 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So there's things come up and we just don't know the answer to. We don't know. We may struggle with what is truth in certain situations. If that comes up, I pray that you get down on your knees and you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit who guides you into all truth. He'll give you the answer. 2 Timothy 2:3-4 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus came to testify to the truth. There's lies all over the place out there. What is God looking for in us? He's looking for us to uphold truth as Christians. He wants us to do it well. He wants us to be down on our knees in prayer. He wants us to be in the Word fighting for what is truth. And in so doing, we can release the captives around us. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 2:9-13, it's a real word of warning to us as Christians. I want to turn to that real quick. 2 Thessalonians, I think it'll be up on the screen. Says this. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. Just grasp what he's saying here. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Verse 13, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. When we believe in Christ, it is the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. If you don't believe what I'm saying, the lie promotes some horrible stuff in this world. Hitler spoke a tremendous lie that Jews were vermin, that they were substandard people. What kind of chaos came out of that? We have addictions all over our country. In Pennsylvania, heroin and opiates are a huge issue. And the hopelessness that people feel when they travel outside of the truth of God, it's staggering. But we don't even have to go that far. You know, Satan has a lie that's unique to maybe Gabe or Jared or Gary. And he wants you to live captive to that lie. He wants you to live in defeat because of the lie that he's been telling you all this time. Why is God's truth not clear? I got another passage I want to read. John 8, 42 to 47. You're going to have to turn this. I don't have this on an overhead. John 8, 42 to 47. It says this, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father. Notice that is not capitalized. The devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. Listen closely as he describes the devil here. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Those are sobering words. We need to seek after the truth that is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A true picture of truth. But back to this, why is God's Word not clear? Why is it when God wants unity, there's division? Take marriage, for example. God wants that marriage to be unified, to be working together as one unit. And what does Satan do? He says, if it's not working, if you're not in love anymore, get out. Why is it when God calls for diversity, Satan wants things unified? Diversity in men and women. But Satan somehow wants those lines blurred. When God wants rule, I gotta sit, watch how I say this. I don't pronounce words very well. Rules. Am I saying that right? The English language, I'll never understand. When God wants rules for people, not the letter of the law, but I'm talking about, why don't we have a different word? But anyhow, when he talks about rules of a woman and a man taking leadership, what does he replace it with? He replaces it with jealousy. I'm not going to be subject to that. I'm not going to lead my family. When God wants responsibility, you know what Satan replaces with? All parents have heard this statement, right? It's not my fault. He replaces it with blame. It's a big deal in our country. We want to blame something because somebody's got to pay for what happened. McDonald's spilling a cup of coffee on your lap might be a good example of that. The lady got millions of dollars for simply spilling a cup of coffee on her lap. It's too hot. Responsibility versus blame. When God wants authority, Satan replaces it with rebellion. When God calls for delegation, Satan replaces it with tyranny. When God wants freedom, it's replaced with bondage. God wants us to be free. And you know, the lie that Satan produces is this, is just the same. It's the same thing. It sounds the same way. It's sort of like the English language. Two words mean the same thing, right? We want freedom. We want to do what we want to do. But does it lead to freedom? No, in the end, it leads to chaos, disorder, and desolation. There's 12 areas that I want you to think about. And youth, I need you to especially think about them. I'm having Bible study with you guys on Wednesday night, and this is going to be the subject. I want you to think about the truth and the lies in these 12 areas of society. And you as a church, maybe you can just jot down as I'm talking some of the lies that come from these segments of society. The church. God and man's relationship. For example there, I'll just help you a little bit. Evolution. That's a lie about God and man. Social order. There's lots of lies about that right now. How about law? We just interpret the law any way we want to. Or the state, family. This has a lot of lies to it in the family. How about our philosophies, the things that are being taught? How about ethics? One more political thing and I'm done. I'm not allowed to preach politics from the pulpit. WikiLeaks. One of the things that Hillary said in an email said, we got to find a way that the things that I believe in private sound good to the public, or vice versa. It doesn't sound ethical. How about science? Lots of things in science that can be traced to a lie. History. You've heard of history revision? There's lies in history as well. Labor. Wow, where do I go with this? There's lots of lies about labor in our country and what it means to work and have an occupation. But the area that we're probably attacked most with lies is arts and media. So I want you to think about that. I'm not going to go into it. I want you to go home and ponder it this afternoon and think about the lies that are in these segments of our culture. So to wrap up my message, I want you to think about what is true and what is false. Truth only comes through Christ. And I'll close with this verse one more time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for truth. Lord, it is so hard to see truth sometimes, but I just pray that we would get on our knees and we would pray to find your truth in each situation. Lord, help us to stop believing the lies about each one of us, to stop believing the lies in media, in the law, in the state, philosophy, and ethics. But I just pray that we would focus on you, the giver of truth. Pray this in your name. Amen.